WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
It can be pretty scary when your child is sick, maybe even scarier when you're a single parent. Anne Lamott joins us with another journal entry about her life as a single mother. Her son Sam is 4.
Sam often crawls in bed with me in the morning. He's so light that I don't always feel him get in, but then I'll hear this little baby longshoreman voice growl, "Move over." Other times he bolts up to a sitting position, shakes me awake, and says hostily, "Your bed's wet," like I'm the one who wet it. But the other morning after he'd climbed in, he said in a strange voice, "Your bed is too hot for me," got up and went to his own room. Thinking he must have a fever, I followed, and it turned out by then he was panting. He couldn't breathe. Half an hour later, we were in the emergency ward. As it turned out, Sam was having his first asthma attack. It was a bad one. I've never seen anyone have an asthma attack before, and I thought he was going to die. No one in my family has asthma, and I have no idea whether or not his father did, or whether it runs on the father's side of the family. I know that both of Sam's father's parents were old and alive during the 3 months we were seeing each other, and you know what? That's about all I know. Sam's pulse was clocked at 150, and his chest was rising and falling like a piston, and I was suddenly keenly aware that Sam is half made up of someone whose parents' names I don't even know, let alone anything about their medical history or their son's, Sam's dad. Of course, this was one of the first things the doctors in ER wanted to know. "I really have no idea," I said. I felt like the fast girl in high school who doesn't know for sure who the father of her baby is. I wanted to explain that I'm not that kind of girl, that there'd just been one man. But Sam was sitting right there, wheezing away, staring at me with his huge brown eyes, plenty anxious enough without having to deal with his most painful issue. This business of there actually being a man out there who is his father makes him so confused. I recently went into more detail about it than I ever had before, explained to him that his father got very angry at me when I was pregnant and had gone away long before Sam was born, and that Sam simply couldn't see him. Sam volunteered a couple of ways in which I might improve my personality enough so that his dad would not be angry anymore. "Honey," I tell him, "it just isn't going to happen." And in what I think of as real life, it doesn't usually bother me that there's no one around but me. But in the emergency ward, watching Sam gasp for breath, the aloneness bothered me big time. It made me feel like a hugely burdened adolescent, like Atlas in junior high. Nurses came in from time to time to give Sam another treatment, and once to take us down the hall so Sam could get a chest x-ray, and the doctor kept coming back to see how Sam was doing, but mostly, for 3 hours, Sam sat up in bed and I sat beside him. No one offered us any toys, and I hadn't thought to bring any. I kept thinking that if there were a dad here, he would know what to do. He could do sound effects for Sam to make the time pass. This is the one field in which I would definitely acknowledge general male superiority. But I remembered the old adage that first you take the action, and the insight will follow. So I found a tiny box of crayons in my purse and 2 index cards with shopping lists on them. I drew a terrible giant on each of the index cards, poked holes in each of their right hands, and stuck tongue depressors through them. Then I staged a vigorous clicking sword fight between the 2 giants. Sam's eyes grew wide. He smiled. It felt like one of those tiny little brown paper bag miracles, and even more so an hour later when he could breathe again just fine. And I could finally see that we'd never really been alone, because Sam was sitting there on the bed, covered with funny stickers on his clothes that various nurses had given him, every step of the way.
Anne Lamott is the author of Operating Instructions, a journal of my son's first year. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.